Hello, bonjour, and welcome to this week's edition of the headlines from CKUT's Community News Collective in Montreal. Information that matters from our neighborhood to the world. Produced in collaboration with the Dominion. We're broadcasting from Montreal and rebroadcasting on stations throughout Canada and the U.S. These are the headlines for the week of March the 1st. I'm host Juniper Belshaw. Here are the week's local headlines. Montrealers have long been turning to community-based education initiatives as an alternative to institutional schools. For example, the Coop Sur Généreux Housing Collective hosts Skillshare several times per year, where interested individuals and groups can give or take workshops. The Montreal Urban Community Sustainment Project, or MUCS, hosts the Montreal Free School, which gives a variety of classes year-round, from weekly permaculture courses to art for kids. This spring, the St. Emily Skillshare in St. Henry is back in action, with workshops ranging from silk screening to sound editing. Last weekend, I had the pleasure of participating in a Skillshare at a plateau apartment, where 25 to 30 people took part in workshops in urban gardening, bread and fresh pasta making, and lino cut making. Here, in celebration of autonomous, public, community-based education, a click from that Skillshare's improvisational singing workshop.
Do we want to start with one section?
Yeah, let's add them.
Should we add them?
Yeah.
Red, red, rose red. Will I ever see thee red? I will marry at thy will, sir, at thy will.
The
wind
in the willow, blind by the solitary soul.
Canada's first private nuclear power generator, Bruce Power, announced that they have chosen the site for their proposed nuclear power plant in northern Alberta. The White Mud site is 30 kilometers north of Peace River. Bruce Power claims that it is now in the knowledge-gathering stage of development, assessing, quote, baseline data on the technical, environmental, and social impacts of the White Mud site, and advanced the planning and consultation process while awaiting the report of an expert panel appointed by the provincial government looking at nuclear energy and the role it could play in Alberta, end quote. In an interview with the CBC, Brenda Brochu, president of the Peace River Environmental Society, said that the White Mud site has problems. According to Brochu, the site rests directly on an aquifer, and quote, the biggest issue is the radioactive wastes, and their need to be isolated from the environment for approximately a million years, end quote. Bruce Power will be holding a series of information nights in Alberta, March 25th at the Dunn Vegan Inn in Fairview, and March 26th at the Sawridge Inn in Peace River for people concerned about the project.
A $3 billion economic stimulus package won approval in the House of Commons yesterday. The opposition Liberals were initially holding out on the fund, demanding details on how the Conservatives planned to distribute the money. This position appears to have changed, as the Conservatives have not yet released any such details. This reversal of position drew criticism from Jack Layton of the NDP, claiming this move makes a mockery of Ignatieff's plan to put the Conservatives on probation. However, Ignatieff responded that the Liberals will still hold the Conservatives accountable for the spending of the fund and will demand full disclosure on how the money will be spent after the fact. The $3 billion fund will get money into the struggling economy in April, with a further $37 billion to follow in June.
This Thursday, government lawyers will attempt to convince Judge Tremblay-Lamarre to certify their appeal questions in a first step towards trying to reinstate Adil Sharkawi's extreme bail conditions. Sharkawi was arrested and incarcerated under a security certificate in 2003. Though he has never been charged with a crime, nor has he been tried, nor has he seen the evidence the government claims to have against him. On his release from prison in 2005, Sharkawi was placed under a series of bail conditions. He has been barred from using the internet and any phone outside of his home. He has been required to be accompanied by a parent, his wife, or another appointed guardian when leaving his home, and he has been restricted from leaving the island of Montreal, among other restrictions, as part of these bail conditions. On February 20, 2009, in federal court, Judge Lamer ordered that Sharkawi be freed from the bulk of these conditions. In an impromptu press conference following the decision, Adel told journalists how much he was looking forward to things that would seem completely banal to most people, such as going out to a restaurant with his wife and children, or taking his kids to the park by himself. However, in addition to seeking Judge Lamer's approval of their appeal questions this Thursday, the government's lawyers will also try to convince Judge Lamer to suspend her last ruling until their appeal is heard at the Federal Court of Appeals, meaning that Sharkawi and his family members could again experience the bail conditions from which they were recently relieved. The appeal hearing will take place this Thursday at 9:30 a.m. at Federal Court, which is located at 30 McGill Street in Montreal.
Since 1992, when the United Nations declared March 22nd as World Water Day, the day has been observed by a three-day conference organized by the UN to discuss water-related topics. This year, the theme of the conference was transboundary issues, sharing water and sharing opportunities. Coinciding with the UN Conference on Water Issues, the World Water Council held its fifth annual week-long World Water Forum that ended on Sunday. The forum claims to be the world's largest water event and describes itself as, quote, serving as stepping stones towards global collaboration on water problems. The forum is a unique platform where the water community and the policy and decision makers from all regions of the world can link together, debate, and attempt to find solutions to achieve water security, end quote. However, critics of the World Water Forum argue that the forum is a corporate interest lobby that pushes for further privatization of global water sources, with disastrous environmental and social impacts. Such criticisms were reignited this past weekend when representatives from dozens of nations at the forum agreed that water was not a right, as the UN has declared, but instead a lesser, quote, basic human need, end quote. Furthermore, the Planet Save blog reported that protesters demonstrating against risky dams outside the forum were sprayed with water cannons by Turkish police monitoring the forum hosted in Istanbul. Also this weekend, Canada's Environment Minister Jim Prentice announced that the federal government would contribute $2.5 million over 5 years on top of the operation funds that it already diverts to the UN Environmental Programme's Global Environmental Monitoring System, or GEMS. The GEMS is based out of Burlington, Ontario, and tracks temperatures, metal content, and other information for inland water sources all over the world.
This Tuesday, people across the world are joining together for World Tuberculosis Day. As tuberculosis is widespread in the developing world, this special day represents a good opportunity to encourage and promote initiatives like the one launched in 2005 in Malawi by the National Tuberculosis Control Program, NTCP. This program brings health care to people and provides universal access to tuberculosis testing and treatment, instead of expecting people to make their way to health facility. According to the EPS, John Shiguduli, whose tuberculosis was cured after he was treated at the new center in Ziradza, say, quote, I have been sick for about a year, and I haven't been able to work at all. I felt very weak, but I could not access testing services because the hospital is far away from here, and I didn't have money for transport. I only got diagnosed with tuberculosis when a medical facility was set up here in my village, end quote. The program also offers active screening at the tuberculosis testing center, which means that HIV testing is offered in combination with tuberculosis tests. Hospital waiting times are usually long because Malawi is facing an acute shortage of health personnel. The Department of Health indicates that up to 120 registered nurses leave the country per year for better-paying jobs in richer countries. According to Malawian Health Department figure, 50 patients are looked after by only one nurse, while one doctor is responsible for 64,000 patients.
Five more deaths have resulted from suspected U.S. airstrikes on Pakistan's bordering region with Afghanistan last week, according to intelligence officials. These attacks, carried out by unmanned drones on suspected Pakistani militant targets, have increased significantly over the past year. All are largely believed to have originated from U.S. bases in Afghanistan. Pakistan strongly protests these attacks, claiming them to be a violation of its sovereignty. However, top military observers believe Pakistan secretly has a deal with Washington to allow the attacks.
And those are this week's headlines. Our broadcasts are available for download every week at cktnews.wordpress.com, and you can read more news from the grassroots at dominionpaper.ca. Thanks this week to our friends at the Dominion and our contributors, Juniper Belshaw, Brody McRae, Caitlin Chappelle, and Fabrice of the CKUT Community News Collective. I'm Laura Glowacki. For contacting us, email headlines@ckut.ca or call 514-448-4041, extension 6788. Thanks for listening.